This is TWiT.
Speaking of surprises, I went in my office this morning and there's a box waiting for me. I wonder what it could be. Yeah, my new Surface X is here.
Surface Pro X.
Holiday Plus.
There's a 16-inch box from
it's a very small bezeled box. Got it upside down there. This is the new MacBook Pro.
Inverted T.
I was a little bit mad because, as you might remember, I had given up on this. Ming-Chi Kuo convinced me it wouldn't be out until next year, and I bought a different laptop as my purchase of the year, but I'm going to send that back because I have a feeling. Now, you know, Renee, you have one, I'm sure.
Yes.
And Andy, I saw that on Twitter that you went into the Apple store yesterday to bang on one.
Yes.
Dave, do you have one or no?
I don't have one. I've banged on one, but that's
I've neither banged or anything, but, it sounded from everybody's reports that this was the MacBook Pro we've been waiting for, that they fixed the keyboard. They fixed the thermals, so the i9 in this is giving you its full juice. New speaker system, which is supposedly really good. Renee, you love it, I think.
Yeah, I've been using it for about a week now, and it's like I'll get out of the way up front. I think the webcam is an affront to the machine. It's still 720p.
What's the deal?
And it does nothing. It does nothing for, like, if this camera was 1080p or 4K, I could use it for mobile video production because the microphone, while not outstanding, is really USB, like,
it's pretty good.
USB.
Yeah, people have compared it to a Yeti or something like that. It's certainly good
enough.
And there's
no Wi-Fi 6.
You could do a podcast.
So those are the two dings.
And it's not Wi-Fi 6, which is weird because even the iPhone 11 is Wi-Fi 6, the new 802.11ax.
One thing Apple does, so we have something to complain about. It's that one thing every time.
You know, it probably has more to do with chipsets than anything else, right?
Yes.
So let's.
But everything else is my wish list.
Let's
they did everything I wanted them to do.
It really is the System 7 of MacBooks. It's because the logo is it sucks less.
Now I got the darker one of the two. Or did I? Yeah, that's slate. It's not quite as dark as I expected. It's almost aluminum, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that's the darker one.
It is. But
the other one is
pretty.
Real silver though.
It's real pretty. I think it's very nice. Is the hinge changed as well? I think it is.
It's just a little taller because the thing is a little deeper.
Yeah.
But you get space gray stickers, Leo. That's the important thing.
What? Oh, well, that's worth it. That's worth every penny. And it's already booting. Yeah, look at that key. For me, the separate escape key is also important because I use Emacs. So I actually use an escape key. So that's pretty cool.
Apple shouted out Vim during the demo.
Or Vim or VI, absolutely. Yeah, escape key is really important in VI. Also, they've separated out the fingerprint reader, so it's just kind of a separate button from the touch bar.
Yeah.
The keys, capses, I don't have to recapitulate. Everybody knows all of this. Oh, it's talking to me. Hey, hi Siri.
Yeah, you haven't clicked the button fast enough.
Hi Siri. Yeah, it talks
faster.
You can
enjoy those new arrow keys that are just like old arrow keys and the way they should be.
You know, that's all anybody wanted was a 2015 MacBook with the new Intel processors, right?
That's it.
Yeah, it's really all they had to do was say, let's take all the bad ideas we put in 3 years ago and not actively make it stink now. We don't have to innovate. We don't have to even iterate. We don't have to have courage. We just have to say, let's take a look at the design that has worked for every computer used by a human who types with fingers and emulate that instead of anticipating humans having different sorts of hands in the next 1,000 years. So, the inverted T is a big deal. I was kind of surprised by how welcoming the new keyboard was, simply by virtue of the fact that it doesn't seem like it's off balance, and there was something about the touch bar that really just rendered everything like it's tilted to the left a little bit. Having the escape key that's anchoring the upper left-hand corner, and as visual creatures, we start at the top left of things and work our way down and right. So when the first thing you see on a keyboard isn't there, that's discombobulating. Going back to a standard inverted T configuration on the arrow keys, let's make this familiar again. They didn't have the keyboard is better, I will. I am now so relieved that I no longer have to say that there's no way in hell I can imagine myself buying a MacBook anytime in the future, because the keyboards of all the other MacBooks were just like I've been saying, a non-starter. This one, it's not a great keyboard. It's not even a particularly good keyboard, but it's an adequate keyboard at least. It won't be the reason if I don't buy another MacBook. It won't be specifically because the keyboard, which is not a deal breaker. It sounds like the most faint praise, backhanded compliment I could possibly make. But really, I'm just excited by the fact that okay, we have a workable keyboard and that trackpad. That's got to be the biggest trackpad Apple has ever put on anything.
It is. So well, I remember the last time I compared the trackpad to the iPhone, and it was about iPhone size. Let's just put the iPhone on the trackpad today, and oh yeah, it's considerably. It's the iPhone plus an extra inch, you know. That's a big on the top. So it's the width of the iPhone's height, and it's maybe 3/4 of an inch taller. That's a big trackpad.
Yeah.
Apple's plan all the way along, though, right? Roll out all these changes that everybody's going to hate for 3 years, and then when we roll this machine out, we don't have to worry about them complaining about no Wi-Fi 6,
Because as we all know, in business history, New Coke was such a shot in the arm for Coke Classic. It was worthy of emulation by the most valuable tech company.
All right, I'm going to type on it the first time, and what I'm going to do is a password, because passwords are my best way of judging accuracy on a keyboard, because if I have to retype the password a bunch of times, that drives me nuts. And I have very weird passwords, and I type them very fast.
Make sure you do it
on
camera so everybody can see.
Yeah, I just did by accident. It's okay. It's just a Wi-Fi password. It's not you won't gain any real benefit. It feels better. It doesn't – you're right, Andy. It's not the 15. It's not a Lenovo ThinkPad, but – the 2015, it's good.
It's almost twice the key travel, isn't it? Like 1.04,
1 millimeter. 1.08. Yeah. I actually like the spacing. So, I think, you know, Ben Thompson on Stratechery had an interesting article, today about Apple and the perils. Really, he talked about the perils of being dominant. He said, I don't like to use the word monopoly as a technical term, but in effect, Apple has a monopoly on iOS and macOS products. And he said the problem with that is people are going to continue to buy. They've sold more than $90 million worth of MacBooks since the keyboard debacle. People are going to continue to buy. You're not going to get the signal you would get if there were a choice, because even if people hate it, you can kind of kid yourself. Well, no, they like it. It's just a few loudmouths because they are buying it. So there's a peril, and I think that was his point, to being so successful. And this is nothing new. We've known this for some time.
Ben is a genius, so far be it for me to second guess him. But it's not an exact parallel, but you have companies like Nintendo who, you know, they make the Wii, and then they make the Wii U. And then they come back and they make the Switch. And the danger is, Apple takes these big swings. Steve Jobs used to call them Babe Ruth swings. And a lot of times they hit it. You know, they don't make very few phones. They make very few computers. They don't work like Dell or HP. But when they miss, you know, that ball goes flying by them. And that's the risk. And I don't want them to stop swinging, because a lot of times when they do take those swings, they make really innovative things. Like, I think the Force Touch trackpad, that was a risk. They made the best trackpads in the business, and they re-engineered them. And you can debate whether you like the size or not, but I think from a technological point of view, these new touchpads are way better than what they had before. And they had the same confidence level going into these keyboards. And one of their issues is that they get pushback on almost any change. If they don't change anything, people say they're not innovating. But when they do change things, people don't like it, because we're change adverse. And sometimes they're going to be right, and the new way is going to be better. And after like a couple days of us getting used to it, we'll say, hey, I kind of like this. But when it's wrong, they're still in the mentality of, oh, you know, they're just still getting used to it. And they're going to see the same things, the same good qualities that we see in it, they're going to see in it. And that just makes, when it's wrong, they double down on the wrong. And then it takes them an extra cycle to get back on and rebuild a keyboard or something.
So in light of that, this is a pretty amazing thing for a company like Apple, a dominant company, a very, very successful company, to say, yeah, maybe we did make a mistake. Now, they're not going to say that out loud, because all the other MacBooks still have the old keyboard. But I think this is, it's new Coke unprecedented that Apple would say, okay, we give.
They rolled back on the RAM too. Like they were all in on low power RAM and just the LPDDR4 did not come and it did not come. Yep. And now they've gone back to DDR4 RAM and they've had to increase battery to compensate for it. But they've gone up to like 64 gigabytes of RAM, 8 terabytes of SSD. They also, you know, they thought that we're going to get to 10 nanometers and they thought we're going to get to 10 nanometers and we're still not at 10 nanometers. So now they've redone the thermals and they could always burst. They could always deliver the i9 at burst speeds, but now they can deliver it for longer sustain as well. So in many ways, it's a regression and it's a very pragmatic regression given the lack of advancement in the silicon that I think that they were counting for. And they've also done a really good job in totally abstracting away that silicon. So if you look at a modern Mac, it's got a layer of metal onto it. And most people wouldn't realize when it's hitting those GPUs or the CPUs. And they're shoving a bunch of stuff onto the T2 chip now, like HEVC encode decode, that still doesn't work well on Intel. So they're shoving all that onto the what's equivalent to an A10 processor inside the computer. And it's sad because I'd love to see a Mac where we did get 10 nanometer Cannon Lakes like two, three years ago and DDR4 2-3 years ago. But I think this is them fixing their mistakes and also doing their best to work around the general lethargy of x86 silicon.
It sounds it sounds like they, for the most part, took the turn in the correct direction. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yep.
Yeah. They turned
away from the ground, away from the mountains, into the sky.
Now, having typed a little bit, and I have to say a little bit on this keyboard. Yeah, you're right, Andy. It's not the 2015 keyboard. I did on iFixit. They said, "Oh yeah, it's pretty much identical." It doesn't feel like that. The travels.
It has a different. The scissor mechanism is it's very, very similar to the Magic Keyboard that comes with the iMac. They just had to re-engineer it because the iMac keyboard is slightly angled and this one is flat.
Right.
And what they ended up doing, because they still really, really believe in not having it be very loose if you hit it on the sides. So they re-architected the rubber. It's gone back to using a rubber dome, and they re-architected slightly so that when you get to max up key travel, you got to punch a little bit to push it back down, and that equalizes stability for them.
It feels pretty good. It definitely seems a little bit quieter. I think you nail it, Andy. It's good enough.
Yeah, it's not a bad keyboard at all. It doesn't distinguish itself either way. And again, after the past few iterations, I'm happy with it. Just not, you know, you're hoping when you get behind the wheel of a new car that the steering wheel doesn't surprise you at all.
Right.
You don't want to see any innovation there.
Right.
You want to see a round thing that responds to you doing this to it. And the keyboard is, I think, the exact same thing. You really can't quote innovate unquote because you're taking away the best feature of that component, which is consistency and reliability, in the face of whatever mandate you think that you're pursuing there.
I point you to Marco Arment's blog post, Marco.
He came in with calipers, Leo. It was the most amazing thing.
He's pretty happy. He said he had a list, a wish list to fix the MacBook Pro, many of which were not, you know, fixed. But he says, really, it came down to the keyboard for me, and they fixed that. So he says, I couldn't be happier. They didn't move the headphone jack to the other side and some of the things he was hoping for. I'm on cloud 9. Look at this glorious keyboard, an escape key, inverted T arrow keys, a millimeter of key travel. It's funny that we're talking about it as if, you know, the heavens have opened. Yeah. But the truth is, I think a lot of people, I'll include myself, want to use MacBooks. We want to love MacBooks. We love Mac OS and we want to use MacBooks. And for Apple to do something, so as Ben Thompson called it, user hostile with the keyboard, was a real showstopper.